Well, let's go ahead and begin. We've been talking about the wonderful works of the Lord and primarily of the Old Testament. We've been interested in Old Testament studies and looking at many of the wonderful things that have taken place in the Old Testament. And so tonight, we're going to go ahead and continue that. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Ruth tonight. It's not a very big book, and you might be surprised how little of it we're actually going to be able to look at. But we're going to go ahead and look at Ruth, and we're going to look in chapter 1 here in just a moment. The name of our lesson is Mara or Naomi? Question. Mara or Naomi? In verses 1 and 2 of this book of Naomi, the events that happen and they take place in a time of the judges. This was before there was a king ruling over Israel and over her people. Bethlehem was a very large town in the local area. It produced quite a bit of food. But as we look there in the very beginning, you know, it came to pass when the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And whenever the Jewish scholars used to always say, whenever the scriptures would say, but when there was, it always meant something bad was going to happen. And in this case, we're talking about a famine. And that's a time, of course, when the crops don't grow and food becomes very scarce. So Elimelech, he took his family, his wife, and his sons, and they went on a journey, and they were looking for a place of security. They were looking for a place where they could come to a country where they might have food and plenty. And, of course, they ended up in a country where the people did not worship God. Elimelech himself was from Ephrath, we read that in Malachi 5 and 2, the name is synonymous with Bethlehem. And the fact that he was from there by his name meant that he was one of the chief families there in Bethlehem. And so anyway, he took his wife and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and he took Naomi, and they went on into Moab. And they were there for just a short time. The names in this story are very important as we go on with the lesson tonight. When we think about the names, Elimelech is a wonderful name, and it means that my God is king. So remember that, although he won't be mentioned too much tonight. Naomi means pleasant. You see that over on this side of the screen over here. Naomi means pleasant. And unfortunately, something happened in Naomi's life, and there were some very difficult, trying times. And in chapter 1 and verse 20 of Ruth, we read that, but she said to them, the people she was with, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. And Mara is a name that means bitter. And so the real question tonight is are you a pleasant person? Is your life pleasant or is it bitter? Are you a pleasant person or are you a bitter person? And so I want you to think about those names and remember that as we go on. And so the first thing we see that, you know, when we talk about Naomi, we always hope and we make plans in our lives. And I'm sure that when they left Bethlehem, they had great plans. They were expecting to find a place where they could have peace and rest and plenty. And we do, we often make plans in our lives, and there's always ups and downs, right? In our lifetime, when we make plans, don't we make plans like this? You know, there's our goal, and it's just a nice, straight, easy ride. That's how we do that. That's probably what they were thinking. They're going to leave Bethlehem and go to some other place, and it's just going to be a place of plenty. But the fact is, and the reality is, that this is more what life is like. There's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of turmoils and troubles and waters to go through. And the real question about all this is, when you do have turmoil or trouble in your life and it's not going so easy, what do you do when that happens? Do you rile God or curse God? Somebody once wrote, some people create their own storms and then they get upset when it rains. And I know that happens. A fellow named Billy Sunday, who was a preacher from way back when, he wrote, "If you don't do your part, don't blame God." But a lot of people blame God. They curse God. And when you think about cursing God, you know, there was a fellow named Naboth. Naboth did not curse God. But when you look him up in your Bibles and you read about that in 1 Kings chapter 21, you see that he was a very innocent man and he didn't want to sell his vineyard. And Ahab was upset and he told his wife Jezebel. Jezebel went out, wrote a letter and got a meal going and sent out two scoundrels to sit beside Naboth and they lied about him. They said, "Oh, he cursed God and the king." And what happened? They stoned him to death. They took him out and stoned him. But then think a little bit about Job. In Job chapter 2 and verse 5, the devil tells God to stretch out your hand and you touch his bone and his flesh and he will surely curse you to your face. And we're thankful for Job because he never cursed God. But then his wife did. You think about that in verse 9 of Job chapter 2. His wife said, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." She wanted him to do what Naboth was accused of. But Job held to his integrity. You know, in Proverbs chapter 19 and in verse 3, the foolish man twists his ways. That's that guy that he makes a mess of his life and then he blames somebody else. The foolish man will twist his ways. His heart frets against the Lord. And we need to be a people who truly understand these warnings and these proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, Solomon wrote, "The integrity of the upright will guide them." Kind of like Job. When you have troubles in life, don't blame it on God. But Solomon goes on to say, "But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." You know, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, "For each one shall bear his own load." You just deal with your life. Let God be the king. Let God be the rule. Let God be God. But you deal with your life. You carry your load. Don't blame it on other people. And the bottom line in all this is pretty clear. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 9 and in verse 20. The Apostle Paul, you know, he says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?'" And so when we keep all these things in mind as we think about the idea of being a Mara, a bitter person, or living life like a Naomi, somebody who's pleasant. You know, some people create their own storms. Do you decide life is a misery? And I know people that, you know, "How are you doing?" "Oh, it's just a miserable day." "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just so tired." Or, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, "You know, I'll be a lot better in an hour"? That's what they say when it's an hour away from going home from work. And then what they're telling you is they don't enjoy being there. My advice would be to find work that you enjoy. Why live in misery, right? And so don't be somebody who is miserable because of your own self. God will not make you miserable. Jesus said, come unto me, learn of me, I will give you rest for your souls. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't waste it. There is no reason to be miserable. But let's admit that Naomi did have a hard life. Right? In verse chapter 1 of Ruth, there was a famine. A famine caused her to and her family to have to move to a foreign country. Her husband, in verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. And then you read in verse 5, then Mahalon and Chilion also died. Those are her two sons. The woman survived her two sons and her husband. You know, that almost sounds like Job. She's got a lot of things going on here. And so, there's no question that her life was difficult. Life was hard on Naomi. Let's read chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. It says, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened that when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was excited because of them, and the women said, it is Naomi. But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. Call me bitter. And what did she say? For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Listen, people die in our lives. And it's a very sad thing, that, especially when somebody's not a member of the family of God. But when they are, it's still sad. We don't want to let go of our loved ones, and at the same time, we're very thankful and prayerful that they're going to be in the hands of God. But it is a hard thing when her husband died, her children died. And so life was hard on Naomi, but she in a way, blamed God. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter because of the way God dealt with me. When we have hardships in our lives, we can't blame God. Well, all of us at some time or another have hardships. Bad events in life can be a bitter pill to swallow. And we're not alone. Naomi wasn't alone. There's bad things that happen. You think about Hannah. Hannah was bitter. Why? Because she had no children. She suffered in prayer. Now, she never blamed God, did she? But she was having a very difficult time, and the Scripture tells us she was bitter. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. Tamar was bitter. Why? Because she was raped. And so hard things happen to people. Job, we read, we know that Job was bitter. Satan destroyed almost every single thing that he had. But he didn't turn that bitterness toward God. Not the way that Naomi did. And when we think about it, captivity made life pretty bitter for the Israelites. And the lost children of in Jeremiah chapter 31, bitter over that. It's understandable to respond and feel bitter, but it's what you do with that bitterness. It's what you do with the bitterness and who you blame. How many people say, 26 people were murdered in a church in Texas a couple weeks ago. Was that God's fault? How did God let that happen? God is such a loving God and God is such a caring God. How did that bus a decade ago fall off a bridge and kill all those high school students? But don't forget, we have a devil working in this world. Sin and death is a result of something the devil did, not a result of something God did. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. And some people just create their own problems. In Proverbs chapter 5, there were immoral women. They make men's lives bitter by spreading sin. You know, it's a shame. But some people are in the business of making your life bitter, dragging you down. You know, they're like a two-edged sword, Solomon said. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 26 there, you know, I find more bitter than death the women whose heart is a snare or a net and a net, whose hands are fetters, you know, locks, chains. Who pleases God shall escape from her. And so there are people who literally spend their lives trying to make your life miserable. In 17 and verse 25, Solomon says, a foolish son makes his parents' lives bitter. And I know that all of us know of families, if it's not our own, of other families, where the children have caused so much pain and suffering to the parents. But listen, turning from God is what brings the bitterness. Blaming God brings the bitterness. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verses 18 and 19. Just a little ways back in your Bibles there. In chapter 29, verses 18 and 19, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord your God, our God, to go and serve other gods in these nations, and may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart. How can we have peace if we follow the dictates or the mandates or the instructions of our own hearts? Out of a man comes what? Out of a man's heart. And listen, we realize that we make bad choices, but God is saying that when we turn away from Him, bears the root of bitterness or the wormwood. And He goes on here in this verse 19, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. We think that in our life we can be bitter and happy. We think in our life that we can curse God and somehow it's okay. We think in our lives that we can say mean things about people that don't deserve it, even if they do deserve it, and somehow be happy. And it just is not so. Because the drunkard is not included with the sober. And, you know, you might think that doing as you please is a really good path to happiness, but it's not. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse 19, forsaking God brings evilness and bitterness. It becomes rooted in our being, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 18. Bitterness is something that others might not easily see. It's something that we can hide within our hearts, Proverbs 14 and 10. But if it's left, it can cause very bad decisions on our part. The way in which we treat other people, the relationship that we have with our God. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 32, remember Simon? Simon, the sorcerer, he became a child of God. And yet Peter says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness, bound for iniquity, or by iniquity. And he was a very proud person. We should not allow our pride or our own hearts to create bitterness towards another person. James says, if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast. Do not lie against the truth. And the truth is, bitterness leads nowhere good. Naomi certainly had a difficult time. But for her to say, call me bitter, is something that later on she went from bitter to pleasant again, didn't she? As things got better. But we can't let the external things in our lives be the definition of whether we're happy or not. We can't let whether or not everything's rolling so sweetly when we have that straight line and there's no hills and valleys and everything's great and I feel really good and this is what it's all about. I have this great relationship with God and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out. Because that's what people do. Right? Trust in the Lord God. Not in your own heart. Don't trust in the preacher. Don't trust in anybody. Just trust God. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden. You have a problem. You feel bitter. Don't curse God. Come to God. Come to God in prayer. Come to God in study. Learn more and more and more about God. As Christians, that's what we're instructed to do. Listen to the Apostle Paul. When we think of Christians in bitterness, Paul says, put it away. Right? Just put it away. Now, I'm going to tell you something you may not believe. There's one time when I was trying to talk to a preacher at another church, actually, a different denomination, and I was talking to him about somebody in the terms of marriage counseling. I was studying the Bible with somebody who had marriage troubles, and he told me to quit studying with those people. And I told him that, why? I'm just studying God's Word. What could be better? And he said, well, I have a book that you need to read. And he said, you might have read it. And I told him, no, I didn't read it. Many of you might have heard this story before. But the point here is, I never read the book. And he didn't believe me. He didn't believe me. I think some of the men here believe me after I've told the story so many times. But let me tell you how it relates. I'm going to tell you that I don't have a bitter bone in my body. You curse me, you say mean things about me, and I'm still going to pray for you, I'm still going to love you, and I'm still going to care for you, and there are many here just like that. There's just no reason. You can't say you, but sometimes you just got to be bitter. No, you don't. Paul says, he tells us to put it away. Has God ever told you to do something that He doesn't think you can do? No. Put it away. I know it sounds easier said than done. But realizing that sin is behind bitterness, then the first step is to put that away. Put the sin away. We don't have to stay bitter in sin. That's what Paul taught in Titus. You know, counter the bitterness with kindness. Ephesians 4:32. Realize that life is full of ups and downs. A bitter person focuses on the downs. A godly person focuses on the ups. And he lets God take care of all the downs. Example, Naomi had a wonderful daughter-in-law. She left her own people just to be with Naomi. And I'm sure Naomi appreciated that. But I don't think she took that into account. I have this wonderful woman with me, Ruth, and why would I be bitter? Solomon gives some advice. He said in Proverbs 16:24, he tells us pleasant words. That really helps. Wisdom and knowledge really help. Learning of God. And when we think of the songs that we sing, the praises to God, those help. In Psalm 135 and verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. And the more you praise God, the much easier it is to be less and less bitter. Sing praises to His name, for it's pleasant. What does Naomi mean? Pleasant. You know how Naomi could have maybe gotten rid of that feeling of being bitter and blaming God? Sing praises to God. Because He's good. And it'll bring pleasantness into your life. The Apostle Paul said, meditate on these things. Let's look at that. We'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. That's not a bad thing to read every day. Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 4, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good of report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. Do you know what he just said? Paul just said that I'm speaking truth. I'm noble. I'm just. And I'm pure. And I'm lovely. And the things that are of good report are in me. And I'm seeking virtue and things that are praiseworthy. And I meditate on those things. Because you see them in me. You heard and saw in me. These do. And the God of peace will be with you. Are you ever bitter towards somebody? Cast it out. Praise God, He's good. And that helps to alleviate the bitterness. Whatever things are noble, Paul said, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you've seen and heard in me. That means it's possible. That means it's possible. And the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. You know, maybe it's because I wrote that. No, I didn't. God wrote that. And the God of peace will be with you. God makes use of everything. Romans chapter 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And those who are called according to His purpose. That means that the ups work together with the downs in your life. So don't look at a down like it's a down. Look at a down like it's an opportunity. Look at a down as though it's something God's going to help you through. Look at it for an opportunity for God to help you and give you pleasantness, to give you peace. In verse 35, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine? Famine? Naomi? Or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? We do. One of the biggest arguments in the denominational world is, but God said that no one can take you from His hand. And He did say that. You can't take me from God's hand. I can't take you from God's hand. Naomi couldn't take Ruth from God's hand, and Ruth couldn't take Naomi from God's hand, but Naomi could jump right on out. Because that's what God said. We need confidence that God will aid us. That confidence is found in His Word. Let us therefore come boldly, the Scripture says, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. We're going to obtain mercy and find grace. When? In a time of need. You feel pressured? You feel down? You think you're stuck down in that hole today? Just look up. and praise God because He's good. That's all you got to do. Don't throw it away just because you suffer a setback. The writer of Hebrews said, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Not only in this world, of course, but in the next. It has great reward. He said, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise of God. We talked about some of those promises today, and He made them. He's going to come back, and He's going to take His church and His church only back up to heaven to be with the Father forever, evermore. And you can receive that promise. He says, yet for a little while, and yet He is coming, and He will come, and He won't tarry. The just shall live by faith. Think about that. But He says, if anyone draws back, what's going to happen? God said His soul will find no pleasure in that person. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Don't be bitter. Don't let something somebody said bug you. Don't let something somebody did cause you to stumble. Be bigger than that. Right? Consider others greater than yourself. So when somebody's doing something wrong, you just help them up because they need it more than you do at that time. You know, God makes use of everything. We need that confidence. We don't want to throw it away. Naomi eventually learned, and this is bringing us to an end of our lesson, to let go of bitterness. She did. Her life became very pleasant. Let's go back to Ruth. And let's look in chapter 4 and verse 13 and 17. Ruth chapter 4. In verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman also gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. God will always be there. He is Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. It just doesn't get better than that. The Lord God is my strength, she said. He will make my feet like the deer's feet. He will make me walk on high hills. She rejoiced in the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 3, and verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor bear fruit in the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, if it was like it was before when I was bitter, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, the Lord God. He is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. So, are you a Mara or a Naomi? Are you bitter or pleasant? Mara decided to be Naomi again. You know, in closing, let me tell you that we have ups and downs in life, that if you're alive sitting in the pew tonight, you have these ups and downs. Everybody here does. And I'm not talking about troubles and trials in life. It's not at all. It's called a heartbeat. Ups and downs. You look at those graphs when they measure your heart and it goes up, down, up, down, up, down. You know what that means? It means you're alive. It means you have a choice to choose to be Mara or bitter or Naomi. But it also means you have a choice to choose whether you're going to go up or down in eternity. It means you have a choice while you're alive and that heart's beating up and down and up and down. You have a choice to choose between heaven and hell. But you know what? There's going to come a day when that choice will be made for you. If you don't choose now, because that straight line means you're dead. When there's no more ups and downs in that heartbeat, it means you're dead. And if you're not going through the ups and downs, you're dead. And then the choice is made for you. What will that choice be? We have a song of invitation tonight. That song is simply named, What Will Your Answer Be? Will you respond to Jesus' command to come to Him, to be baptized into Him, to have your sins washed away and be added to the body of Christ? And if you have turmoil and sin in your life, will you respond and repent? The invitation is for you tonight. Whatever you need, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.